Lord willing, if we get down, I want to show some things. Just thinking off top, this morning we're talking about a hard place, the cross being a hard place. Talking about the actual salvation through Jesus Christ at Calvary. Tonight what I want to do is, just on a play of words, place of the skull, let's put a brain in it. Amen? Wait a minute, let's say it this way. It's okay. God gave us a brain, amen, for us to realize some things that are true. And if the people at that time had turned their brain on, they would have said, that's God. Amen? And here we are in 2019. We should be able to take the accounts of Matthew here and say, that's God. All right? I just want to show you this. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look a couple things from this morning, and then we're going to move on. Matthew 27 and verse 39. And it says, and they that passed reviled on him, wagging their heads. Does that look familiar to y'all? Y'all are seeing that? Is that about right? I like it when y'all read along with me because it helps. Amen? And saying, that thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They went back and forth wagging their heads, saying, you're going to tear this temple down in 3 days. Make a note right here. I wanted to preach this morning, but God condensed the message this morning, so we'll expound it back tonight. I would love to say this. People will use what God says in a lot of weird ways to confound and make you mad. Amen? Jesus was not talking about destroying the temple and bringing it up in 3 days. He was talking about Himself. But I want you to understand this. They knew it too. They knew it too. And so let me break it down this way to you. People who always argue Scripture with you and want to fuss with you and fight with you about what the Bible says, they know it too. But the reason they do that is that they don't have to come to the understanding of who Jesus Christ is in their lives. They would much more rather argue with you than to settle the argument in their heart that they have with God. Amen. That's just really good preaching, preacher. We appreciate it. Amen. Do y'all get that? Well, the reason I'm teaching it to you is this, for this reason, is if it happened to Jesus on the cross, it's going to happen to you in life. And some of the meanest ones are people who are religious without God. They were the ones walking back and forth and wagging their heads and saying all kinds of mean things. Now, the Romans had tortured him, but sometimes words are not as hurtful. Actions are not as hurtful as words. They hurt him, but they were just sitting there. They're doing their job at this point. Their job is to walk by and discredit him and hurt him. And sometimes people's job in their life, they think it's to hurt you and discredit you. But what do you keep doing? You keep doing what God sent you to do. Amen? Is that good? That's rich stuff right there, ain't it? We're about to turn our brains on in a minute. So everybody, if you would, just reach up there and turn that knob on your brain, okay? Okay, never mind. Sorry. I'm just being silly, I guess. He saved, verse 42, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe on Him. Look in verse 42, it says, if, right? In verse 42, it says, if He be the King, if. I should have said this morning, but I'm going to say it again tonight. If He be the King, listen, the anthem of hell is if. I've said this before, and y'all have heard me say this. I believe there's going to be a big banner over the gate of hell, and it's going to be, the word will be if. Right? Because every time the devil said anything to Jesus or anything to God, he said, if you be God. If you be God. What they were saying right here, they were saying, if you be God, do one more miracle. Do one more thing, we'll believe. God ain't got to do one more thing for me to believe. I know who He is. Amen? He didn't have to do anything else. There were people all the way through the Scriptures. They didn't say, if you be God. They knew He was God. Hey, it was a little old girl. I don't want to preach this whole message, but there was one woman who had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. Went and seen every doctor she could see. She had a blood issue. Went to every doctor, spent everything she had, everything, every bit of her living, and she had gotten to the place where she was so low, and somebody told her, hey, you know, if you got a hold of Jesus, he'd heal you. I wonder, man, when we get to heaven, I want to meet the person who told her. Amen? I don't want to preach that whole message, but if God just keeps on nudging me, I might. I just want to meet that person who told her, and it's, have you ever met somebody that's been hurt a lot? And it's hard to talk to them because they've been hurt so much. I mean, life just hit them and hit them and hit them and hit them, and it seems like they can't get up to save their life. It would take a special person to come along and say, without a shred of doubt, God, if you touch him, he'll heal that issue. You mean this issue I've been struggling with for 12 years? The thing that's cost me everything? Preach. Amen. The thing that's cost me everything. Oh yeah, no problem. You just got to touch him. Amen. Could you imagine what was going through her mind? You mean if I just touch him? My issue? Yeah, your issue. Then what she got to the place where she got real low, right? Nobody. Jesus comes into town, and he's just cast the demons out of somebody. He's just came back to town. It's a crowd is pressing on him. I just imagine him walking through the street, and everybody's around him, and this little woman has gotten so low that she's going to touch the border of his garment. I mean, talking about the very hem of his garment at the very bottom. And she touches him. And nobody even knows. But he knows. I love when he says, I have felt the virtue. I want to preach something else, Lord. Where you got me over here? This is rabbit hunting 101. Amen. He stops and he said, someone has touched me. Who has touched me? And Peter, I love Peter. He is me sometimes to a nutshell. He's just a type person out to the heel. He says, what do you mean, Lord? Everybody's touching you. Amen. You're in a crowd. He said, but I have felt the virtue go out of me. That word in the King James is virtue. Amen. In Latin and Greek, it translates dynamo. That's where we get our word dynamite. What he's saying is, I felt an explosion. Amen? Can y'all stay with me right here just for a minute? Do you know that she got healed and Jesus really didn't play a huge role in it, but what played the role in it was her faith, believing in who he was and touching him, and it was almost like an involuntary response. Think about it. No, listen. Stay with me. It was like an involuntary response. If your faith touches who he is, he can't help but touch you back. Amen? It was almost as if, wait a minute, the power's gone out, and I didn't discharge the power. It came out because of somebody had faith in me. Wouldn't it be cool every once in a while to make God go, oh, so, hey, somebody's touched me again. Amen? Somebody, hey, I felt the dynamite explosion. Amen? I love the story. Jesus kept walking, and she was all right. I love when people get touched by God and they don't need a big story. They don't need to tell it. Golly. I can't contain myself on that. I want to go back to preaching when I came here to preach tonight. Have you ever just been happy that you're all right? You don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to make a Facebook post or a Twitter post or an Instagram post. Never mind. I'm preaching myself right there just as much as anybody else. Praise God. I mean, you know, she got healed and she was just gonna slide back into the cross. Yes, you saw. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden she found out, wait a minute, God ain't just gonna keep on rolling. He ain't just gonna keep on going to the trail. Guess where he was headed? He was going to raise a person from the dead. Jairus' daughter was dead. Y'all remember Jairus, he's 10 people ahead of him going, come on, Jesus. Don't stop now. He said, I got to stop. Somebody's touched me. She said she's seen that she couldn't be healed. Huh? I think that's when you should really show your faith. That's when you should show what God's done in your life. When you just can't hide it no more. Not because ever, hey, nobody had seen. She's like, I touched you. I'm the one that's whole. Huh? Hey man, I'm the one. Praise God, I'm going to go out of here different than I came in. You know, you can come to every church service and be different when you leave, if you want to. If you want to. I don't know why I preached that whole thing. Charlie, do you remember why I preached that whole thing? I have no idea how I got off on that rabbit trail. Are y'all glad that we did? Well, praise God. That's amazing, isn't it, sometimes? Likewise, the chief priest mocking him and the scribes say, oh, if he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. If you'll just do one more, that's where we got to that whole thing. If you'll just do one more thing, we'll believe in who you are. Some people believed in him. They didn't have to do anything else. Amen? Right? You don't have to do anything else for me, God. I'll just believe in you by faith. You ain't got to do another. Jesus had already raised Lazarus from the dead. He had already done. You ain't got to do nothing else. And they wasn't going to believe by a miracle anyway if you come down from there. Right? He trusted. Look at that, verse 43. Here's a good one. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, look at verse 44 real close with me. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Look at that verse, the first two verses of 44. The what? How many? Both. Ain't that amazing? Highlight that and write that, make a note right there. Both thieves were criticizing Christ. Both thieves. So somewhere in the mix of that, remember this morning, somewhere in the middle of that, he wisened up. God, I want y'all to get a hold of that. Grab hold of it. Just because you see somebody and they're living in the wickedest part of their life, In less than a few hours, they can get it right. Golly, ain't that good? I mean, just in a few hours, they can come to know Christ. Man, it's both of them. He was on his way. I love that. I promise I'm going to try to get to where we want to go tonight because I still... Now from the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Hello, turn your brain on, man. That's what I want to tell everybody at the cross. I want to say, hey! You think this is a coincidence? God turned the lights out in the middle of the daytime because you're crucifying His Son. Have y'all ever think about this? It says Jesus, God couldn't look on Jesus when He became sin. I think God, He put a great darkness over the earth at that time. He couldn't look on Him. He turned His back on Him. But my gosh, I've got a vivid imagination. I wonder... Have you ever seen some of those wedding pictures when a couple's going to get married and they can't see each other prior to the marriage? And they'll get where there's a wall. My gosh, I feel the Holy Ghost. They'll get where there's a wall and they'll put their backs to the wall and they'll just hold hands because there's a doorway there. They don't want to look at each other, but they know they're very, very close. I get this idea that God says, I can't look on you when you become sin. But I'll make the whole world dark. And I'll back up. He told Moses, he said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by you and you can just look on my hinder parts. Because if you ever see my face, it'll kill you. Look, if you ever looked on God without the covering of Jesus Christ, He'll destroy you. He's that righteous. He's that holy. But when God couldn't look at His Son, I wonder if He turned the lights out on the world and backed up as close as He could to this world. Even though we couldn't say that, man, see, as I'm preaching, I'm right here. Whew! I'm a dad. I don't want to be as close as I could be. I'm right here. I'm right here. You might feel like I'm a million miles away, but I'm right here. I moved in. Somebody said, he could have called 10,000 angels. I'm not as worried about the angels if God had just said, nah. Kenneth, can you handle this? Me and your guys, right? I like guy stuff. What if he had just went? Just, Mark, it's a simple thing like this. Just like the clouds departed from our rainy week, God just pulled the clouds back and said, nah, you know what? I've changed my mind. Whew. But he didn't. But he didn't. Hallelujah. But he didn't. Amen. From the 6 hours, complete darkness. It's just a coincidence that all of a sudden the whole world's dark because they're crucifying the only begotten Son of God. Verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the first time I believe that Jesus has ever been separated from the God. One part of the God has been separated from the other two parts. It's the first time ever, and it's the most painful part of the crucifixion. Not all the pain, not all the death, not all that other stuff. It's the separation that he felt. Listen, the worst thing about being separated from God and put into eternity in a place called hell will not be the torture, will not be the torment, will not be that. It will be all the things that you miss about being around God. Some of y'all don't know what I just said, but I'll say it really slowly. Light, peace, joy, happiness, water, joy, excitement, anything that's good, all good things come from God. The minute that you stop breathing and you don't have God, you'll wake up in an eternity without Him. And everything that He is will be gone. And you'll say, oh my God, everything I took for granted, everything I knew about God that I took for granted, I don't have anymore. Jesus said, this is the place that I dreaded the most, is not being in the presence of the Father. Whew. The flesh man, Jesus, separated from God, where we would never have to be. Whew. Right. James, think about that. He got separated for a little bit of time that we won't have to forever. Amen? Think about that. He got separated for this period of time where we won't ever have to be separated from Him. Man, that's good for me. Good for you. Amen. Some of them that stood there, when they heard this man called Elias. They thought he was calling Elijah down. Straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it a reed and gave it him to drink. The rest said, let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Man, what? God's dead. Amen? All right, listen. Verse 51. Turn our brains back on. This happened. 51. All right? Our brains turn on. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Do you hear what I just said? I've heard this a million times. I've preached this so many times. The veil rent from top to bottom. It's the holiest of holies. God rent the holiest of holies. He said, see, only a man, only a priest, a high priest, could go into the holiest of holies. He would go in, and he would conversate with God about the sins of the world. God took it from the top to the bottom, not to the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom and said, there is no more veil between you and me. You can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of... You can. But I want to turn your brains on to some other part that we don't always look at. The earthquake. Man, we live in a world today that we got more people worshiping the earth than they do God. This whole world worships God. The minute God took His last breath, this world shook. Said, no! No! It rebelled like a teenager. It shook. It said, no! You'll be surprised at the end of this world is not crying out for the people to save it. It's crying out for God to save it. That's what it's crying out for. The rocks were... Golly, you got to turn your mind off. if all of a sudden you're looking around, we live in a mountainous region. Could you imagine seeing some of the rocks just fall to pieces? To be rent, listen, to be rent means to be torn. Rock. I'm not talking about pebbles. I'm not talking about stone. I'm talking about stuff that you would have to take dynamite and machinery and to break apart for months and months and months. Just ripped them. That's God. Somebody would have to look around and say, wait! We've done something amiss. This brings to me my sin, my lifetime before I knew God. You have to be a fool to just to turn your head away and say, could you imagine all the religious people standing on Calvary looking around going, wow, wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening. It's just it just surprises me how easy it is for people to turn off their mind and operate on feeling. Especially the feeling of anger and bitterness and power. Amen? Look, verse 52 gets even better. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. People we have put in the grave, people we have put in the tomb are now, listen to who He said, saints, believers. When they put Jesus in the ground, there were many, many believers who went. They just put God in the ground. All of a sudden they're up. Do you know how many authorities would... Hey, there's a disturbance down there. Who? Paul. We just buried him 3 weeks ago. He's down here knocking on the door talking about why'd you kill God? Some of them are going back to the temple. Some are going to Pilate's house. Some of them are walking around the street just claiming glory. Do y'all mind if I go into just a little bit of funeral mode right here? I want y'all to get this. Because I hear this a lot in my line of work. They say stuff like this, if so-and-so could come back, oh, they would be so upset about what you've done with this or that or the other. You're out of your mind. If so-and-so could come back here, they would only tell you to do one thing and one thing only. Figure out who Jesus is and tell as many people as you can before you die. Well, if they could come back, that'd be up. No, listen, if they could come back, I don't care if they busted. Matter of fact, if they busted hell wide open, they would come back and they would be twice as fierce as the ones who didn't. What did He say? Go back and tell my five brothers about what? I preached that mess, you know what I called it? An evangelist straight out of hell. Go back and preach to my five brothers. That was one of the richest men on the face of the planet. He didn't say, go back and do this or that. He said, go back and tell my five brothers about this place. If somebody could break out of hell tonight, they would come and preach hell so hot and so fierce that people would be getting saved left and right because they wouldn't let up. They wouldn't worry about hurting feelings because what they'd worry about more than anything is if you ended up there. He said, when they go back, don't talk about the houses, don't talk about the clothes, don't talk about the purple, don't talk about the chariots, don't talk about the horses, don't talk about the food. Tell them about this place. Tell them not to end up here. Tell them to give away everything they got if they can get Jesus. Amen? God, we overlook these things in the Scriptures. I mean, we do passion plays, we do Christmas plays, and we forsake sometimes that God shook the earth, rent the rocks, and set the graves open just to let people realize you just did something big. You slayed God on a mountain. But it ain't going unrecognized past this world. Amen? The next world understands it. This world understands it. Even when you'll close your mind to it. Just because people will not get on board doesn't mean God's not already on board. Amen? Verse 54. Now when the centurion, I love this part. Now when the centurion and they that were with him were watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those, golly, I think he's the only smart man there. And those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Somebody turned their mind on, didn't they? Who was it? The Roman centurion. He just looked around. He's like, are y'all crazy? The earth's shaking, the rocks rent, there's dead people walking around who are dead. And guess what? It's all because of this man. It's been dark in the middle of the day, and it's because of this man right here. Surely. What'd he say? Not if. I can't wait to get to heaven to see how many Roman soldiers are going to be there. Not only the ones that were standing at the cross, but some that had to watch over Paul and Peter and James and John. I wonder how many of them had to stand there in different prisons and guard Paul and go like this. Man, this guy. I would like to hear the guard exchanges. You know? Because when you change guard, when you do guard duty, you gotta one comes on duty, one goes off duty, and they gotta talk about what's going on with the prisoner. That guy is writing letters to these churches, telling them they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And he's sitting in there in a hole, and we're building the gallows out here. This man's got faith that's just changing everything about me. There's a man at Calvary standing there going, I see that, and I see that. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But do they not know that they're killing Jesus here? Sometimes the best place to find Jesus is on the battlefield. Amen? Sometimes when you are dealing with the hard things of life is when God wakes you up to real life. Amen? Verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from the Galilee, ministering unto him, among which were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple, and went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled away a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now, the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. I want to say this. I'm going to end right here. I just want to get to 66 so bad. I want to show y'all something before we close in verse 66. I love Joseph of Arimathea. I've preached about him so many times. My dad helped me with him so much. God has always got somebody who will, not somebody who might. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea, I don't like preaching because he kind of ruins my doctrine a little bit. I always say God ain't got no secret saints. That kind of ruins my little Kevin doctrine. Because Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He had a rich grave for his family. And he was well off. And he was a silent Christian. But he was only silent until God did. And one day his faith had to be activated and be turned on. The body of Christ had no place to be buried. But God had already said he would be buried in a borrowed tomb. He would make his burial with the rich. And Joseph had already committed his life to Christ. And when he needed a place to be buried, y'all need to write this down. Or if not, just remember it, okay? If God's in it with you, if God's in your life, he ain't got no might people. He's got people who will. That should encourage you. If you keep running against walls and hitting things and it don't work out, that's not a God thing. You need to stop. But if you're doing God's will, I don't care if it's the very last hour and the very last minute or the very last second, something will happen. And God will take care of you. Amen? I love this so much. Pontius Pilate he is frazzled. He's tired of dealing with Jesus. He's finally got him done. Okay, it's over. Joseph's standing there. Hey, can I have that body? Are you serious? Who are you? I didn't even know you were one of them. Yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody. Jesus kind of wanted me to keep it a secret until now. But I need that body because I got to place him in a tomb. Amen? Ain't that cool? Listen, I should encourage you. Are y'all ready? I'm going to finish. Remember when I told you at way back in the very beginning of this message that people do know what he says? I'm going to prove that to you. I don't like to always prove what I say, but I will tonight. Verse 66, I think. No, is it? Oh, yeah, verse 63. Y'all ready? Saying, sir, is that where y'all are at? Read with me. Look at this. Saying, sir, we remember. What? We remember what the deceiver said while he was yet alive. After 3 days, I will. Ain't that amazing? Remember when they were walking back and forth at the cross? They said, you said you were going to tear this temple down in 3 days, you'd raise it up. They were mocking him and making fun of him, but they knew at their core what he meant. They knew at their core what he was talking about because they couldn't even help themselves. They come all the way back to Pilate and they said, listen, we need to set a guard at the graveyard because this man said in 3 days he'll rise again. Man, listen, you can fight against human beings and people and churches and pastors and teachers and family all you want. But you'll have a hard time wrestling against God. God is a good wrestler. Amen? Matter of fact, you know what it'll look like? It'll look like when your big brother holds you by your forehead and you're just sitting there swinging like this. Until you get sick and tired, that's how God wrestles us. Amen? And we see people coming into this church all the time. Month after month, year after year. And they're fighting against God. And some of y'all, and me too. Man, I always said just give up. I always said just let go. I always, listen, one day God will wrestle them down to the point where they just say, all right, God, take me. What our job is to get them here, love them, encourage them, and sow into their field of life. That means sow into them. Love on them. Tell them the truth. Encourage them. Pray for them. And give them an opportunity. When they do go, you're like, yes. Amen? Because they know it. Listen, you know it. Even when you're a little kid, you know God's real. It's just when you get older, you just become desensitized to it. You get a callus over your heart. That's why Jesus come to me as a child. Because he knows if you wait around, you'll get to a place where you'll just say, I don't really need all that. Let's all stand. As they come get a song of invitation. Hope it's been a help to you tonight.